right, Will Turpin, bassist of Collective Soul. Your album just came out back in October. See What You Started By Continuing. First of all, thank you so much for talking with you today.
Thank you for your time as well, man.
So let's start with the name of the album, See What You Started By Continuing. Where did that name come from? Does it refer to anything specific, like your band, and that it's your ninth album?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. It's a play on words that's, you know, basically just describes, you know, kind of the thoughts you have when you're looking at all of a sudden 21 years. You know, I was 22 years old when we signed to Atlantic Records, you know, and we've been rocking 21 years now.
That's pretty amazing, yeah. So the band's last album was released in 2009. Why such a long break in between albums?
I mean, it was just a natural break. We kind of all needed to spread our wings, so to speak, outside of Collective Soul and spend time with family. Mm-hmm. And we all created and worked outside of Collective Soul on side projects, some co-writing and production as well. Me, Dean, and Ed all had side projects released.
Right.
And then, you know, we continued to play shows, festivals and stuff during the summers. But as we got back together and started to record, I guess, let's see, that would have been really, we started to get back together and record around 2013. It's just that it took us a while to finally feel like, okay, this is the record. We're done. And then, of course, we had to get the business folks behind us, too, and that took us another, since the machine wasn't really cranked up and ready to go, so to speak, that was another at least 9 months to get the label on board as well.
That sucks when you're ready, like, musically, and you got to wait for that.
Yeah, it does suck, but, I mean, it's just the way it is. You know,
right.
We were independent, and, you know, we as musicians always think, hey, as soon as it's done, somebody can release it for us, but... You know, the business people want their time to be able to execute their plans as well.
Right, right. So was that kind of freeing to be able to work on your own stuff and kind of put Collective Soul to the side a little bit?
It definitely was. I mean, I think it's artistically it's needed. And then our thought process was that, you know, all the individual side projects will really only, in the end, only make the Collective Soul machine stronger. So we were just like, yeah, man, let's recharge our batteries, let's do our own things. And like I said, in the end, it's only going to make us stronger as Collective Soul anyway.
Right. It's awesome you guys were all on the same page with that, too.
It made perfect sense to us. I mean, I think a lot of people, when we were doing it, were like, oh, man, well, they're all doing solo projects. And it's like...
This is the end.
Well, yeah, but we all know we're doing side projects and we're into it. You know, we're supportive of each other. And
that's awesome.
And like I said, we honestly think that... It makes Collective Soul stronger as well.
Cool, cool. So this new album is definitely a rockin' album as a whole. Was it a concerted effort to create a high-energy, rock-heavy record?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, you can't, like, and we've never been able to do that. You can't really aim for things and then produce them. Mm-hmm. I mean, that does not really work for us, so it's got to be natural. But we definitely were going for it naturally, you know what I mean? It wasn't forced, but we were definitely going for rock and roll.
Nice. What was the recording process like? Did it take a while? Did you guys record as a band at all? Like live at all? Or?
Yeah, we did, especially on the last two tracks we did recorded were Exposed and a song called Life.
Yeah.
Those were recorded in 2 days.
Nice.
Ed obviously is going to overdub some vocals, and there's going to be some guitar parts overdubbed. But,
right. Did those songs just feel like
the drum and bass you hear on both those songs is absolutely 100% live.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I love hearing that. So throughout the album, I'm loving the changing dynamics in songs. For instance, in Confession, it starts out with acoustic guitar and melodic arpeggios.
Well, I mean, really, it's that's actually a bass line. It's just up real high.
Right, right, right. So you're doing chords, I guess, on your bass or arpeggios?
Yeah, you could call that a melodic arpeggio, sure.
Yeah, then it kicks into a heavy guitar riff. Is songwriting like this intentional, or does it come out of like a jamming type situation?
Both. I mean, there's definitely, you can hear it on the Rabbit record also. You can hear a couple songs that are like, to be honest with you, it's an affinity for kind of like Paul McCartney Wings era. So you can hear like there's a couple songs on the Rabbit record that are kind of leaning that way. And then I think we nailed it on Confession on the new record.
Cool.
It's just a really killer contrasting type song where both sections are different, but they work really well together.
What is fine? Oh. And you mentioned, you know, melodic bass playing. Do you write songs on bass at all?
I tend not to.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously Ed's the main songwriter for most of this stuff, but we jam and create stuff together. But, the stuff I've co-written or, you know, been a part of, I tend to write them on acoustic guitar and piano, just like most songwriters do, even though I'm a bassist.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Piano is my first instrument, so I honestly think about everything as a keyboard anyway. When I'm playing bass, it's a keyboard in my head.
Oh, cool. And the album has plenty of guitar riffs, but also features orchestral string instruments, like on the final track, Without Me. Especially with a guitar solo on top, it's definitely a cool sound with thick texture and a lot of layers. How does a song like that come together? You know, are string instruments a part of the original idea, or does that kind of evolve as you go?
Yeah, I think that was Ed's original idea on that particular song.
Mm-hmm.
Some songs, Ed's got a pretty good idea of what we want to go for, and then we just kind of see what works and what doesn't work. And he had all that kind of sketched out in his head on that one.
Right. I guess it's kind of like you said, I mean, you can plan as much as you want, but in the end, it's how it kind of comes out and how it turns out naturally and all that stuff.
Sure. I mean, there's songs we worked on and recorded on this last batch of songs that we just didn't think completely made it to the finish line, you know, and they're not on the record. So.
Right. What happens to those songs?
You know what? After 21 years, we really need to get a full collection of it because, honestly, we've lost track of them. And especially in the early days, we used to not release 3 or 4 tunes that didn't make records.
Hmm.
And there's still a lot of them. I mean, God, we've probably got 20 tunes that nobody's heard that are 80% recorded.
I'm sure people would love to hear that.
Oh, it's going to be a great collection one day when we get it all together and release it.
Yeah, get that box set going. That'll be sweet.
That would be part of the box set.
Yeah, nice, nice. The album is getting nice reviews. Is that something that matters to you or pay attention to?
I mean, for me personally, it matters, but I don't pay attention to it.
Yeah.
Is that a cop out? I don't know. I mean, it matters that people, it's well received, you know, that does matter.
Right.
But I don't know, man. I'm so comfortable in what we do that I don't really care. I don't know how to explain that.
No, I get it. I mean, you guys are obviously into it, and you know, the fans are appreciating it. I don't know. You always hear about critics and all that stuff. I mean, I totally get what you're saying.
No, we're glad, and we know it's well received by the critics, and we are glad.
Yeah, you guys are currently on tour. You're in Vegas tonight, right?
Absolutely.
Nice. Do you still enjoy touring after all these years?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely after we've been home for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely want to get out and play on stage.
Right.
Yeah, that's one thing we've also been known for all these years is a great live band. So we still really, really enjoy getting out there and kicking ass.
Nice. What about playing songs like Shine from 92? Like, do you still...
I mean, we still put a different edge on it and come at people, and the energy they give us back, I mean, it's freaking awesome playing those songs.
I was going to ask you that. Do you ever change up your bass parts to songs like that just to keep it interesting?
Yeah, we definitely do that. I mean, it's nothing that your average person in the audience is going to realize. But for sure, man, we definitely play around every night.
Nice. That's awesome. So we're a public radio station here. Our main music show is a AAA format, you know, meaning we play a diverse mix of artists and genres, like rock, singer, songwriter, blues, etc. I'm curious if you see Collective Soul as a mainstream rock band or one that crosses different genres and audiences.
I mean, you know, it's a category, right? But I mean, as far as rock and roll is concerned, you know, if Beatles were a rock band, then Collective Soul is a rock band. I mean, there's Long and Winding Road, and there's Helter Skelter, and
mm-hmm.
Collective Soul crosses all kind of borders, just like our heroes did too. And so, we've always just said we're a rock band.
Gotcha. Nice. Was the bass always the instrument that interested you the most? That you always wanted to play?
For me, no. I mean, bass was basically about finding the right fit chemistry for the guys in the band. We were all great friends growing up, and you know, it was basically just a commitment by me to be the bassist. I didn't even own a bass when we decided that I was going to be the bassist. So,
oh really?
I was singing backups and hanging out with all my great friends, and it's just kind of a light bulb moment one day. I'll play the bass, man, and everything will be, you know, we'll have our best friendship and chemistry we could have, you know.
Yeah, and it worked out.
Yeah, it did.
What was it like the first time you picked up the bass?
I mean, I knew the tunes, and Shane was my best friend on drums. I mean, honestly, music my whole life is all I'd done. So even though I had never technically played the bass, I don't remember going, "Hey, this is weird." You know, it's started playing piano when I was 8, started playing acoustic guitar when I was about 12 or 13.
Right.
Percussion and drums on the drum line with my buddy Shane, who was, you know, behind the drum set. I mean,
so you're not a bassist, you're a musician.
I'm all around musician, man, for sure. So in my mind, it didn't change things. There was a technical learning curve, but in my mind, it didn't really change anything.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's just a tool. The bass is a tool to get it out.
Right.
All right, I just got one more question for you. Do you remember the alternative station WDRE in Philly back in the 90s?
Yeah, I remember that. It was call letters, yeah.
I'm actually from Philly, so I just wanted to say I've been listening to you guys since then. It's been a true honor chatting with you today. Definitely really,
oh, cheers, man.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah, man, thank you.
Will, thank you so much, man. I appreciate it.
Cheers, man.
All right. Thank you, Ryan.
Hey, this is Will Turpin with Collective Soul. Thanks for listening to High Plains Public Radio.
Attention high and conviction strong. You got that size, shape, groove like a Marvin song. Yeah, my piston's fire.